Good morning. Welcome to New Hope Church. New Hope. I get several waves. Good morning. Good morning. We're really glad to be here with you today in one place, corporately praising our God. Amen. Amen. Would you stand?
Better. Yeah.
give him praise. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen. The Lord is so good. Man, we get to stand before the great I am. Can you imagine? Is that not exciting? That is incredible. Let's pray to a good God. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we get to worship you, that our hearts sing out to you. Father, we are broken. We are in need of your grace and your mercy every day. So, Father, we cry out to you. Father, we pray for healing over and restoration over those that are sick, Lord. Father, would you heal them up? Would you strengthen them? Would you give them what they need for today, Lord, so that we can all return praise and glory to you? You are incredibly good, God. So we say thank you. Father, what a privilege it is to know that every good gift comes from you. And Father, we desire to give back to you with glad and sincere hearts. Father, use it for your kingdom, that more would come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. That's our heart's desire. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 9 today. Daniel chapter 9. We're making our way through the book of Daniel. We've got just a couple chapters left. And I pray it's been fruitful for you. Today we're going to be talking about, I think, one of the most undervalued resources the church has. It's one of those things that sometimes just seems to sit on the shelf. I don't know about you, but have you ever gone through your house and you realize, or maybe your family's house, your mother's house, your grandparents' house, you realize some of the things that are sitting on the shelf, you're like, man, that has a lot of value. Why aren't they using that? Why aren't they getting into that? I heard a story this last July. This woman went to her aunt's house, and they were going to have kind of an estate sale, and she had a bunch of pictures and paintings. She said, we'll start grouping them together. They were putting them out there. They said, that one looks a little unusual. We might want to look at that one. And they found out it was an original Pablo Picasso, okay? It was valued at over $150,000. It had been sitting on the shelf in her house for over 50 years. And, you know, that's kind of what it's like in the church sometimes when we have things that we just aren't valuing, we don't use, and that's what really can be prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer today, and prayer is often neglected or sometimes just discarded by the body of Christ, and we need to be a prayerful people. And so we're going to look at, so the question is, you know, how many blessings, as we kind of dig into this, how many blessings would you say that you or your family have maybe, you know, missed out on because you haven't activated them through prayer? You haven't even prayed about them. Sometimes our prayers are so small. We're like, you know, help me to have a good day. Help my kids to have a good day. But Lord, you know, we want, you know, God to do big things through our church, through the body of Christ, through our kids, through our families. That's what we need to be asking for. And so we need to be prayerful. A lot of times, when you look at people that are a little bit seasoned in life and people that have been active in the church and you've seen them just following Christ, you're like, you know, those people that you're like, I want to be like that. You know, when I'm finishing up, I want to be like that. A lot of times they have an incredible prayer life. But also one of the things is if you ask them about, you know, what something they might do different, I think a lot of them would be honest and they'd say, you know what, I wish I had prayed more. All those stressful times, all those hardships, it's like, I wish I would have been prayerful more. We even see that true of Billy Graham. Billy Graham once said this about prayer. He said, prayer is the most important thing we ever do. He said, if I could do my ministry over again, I would pray more than I preached. You know, Billy Graham, all those revivals, he says, I would have prayed more than I would have preached. And so here at the end of the book of Daniel, we're going to see this powerful prayer in chapter 9. And it's going to be a theme that he goes back to because this has been consistent in his life. We've seen this through the book of Daniel that he's been powerfully praying. So we're going to kind of dive into this. I'm going to give you 4 points today about prayer, but found in Daniel chapter 9 that we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. And this is what it says. In the first year of Darius, I, Daniel, understood from the book, according to the word of the Lord, to the prophet Jeremiah, that the number of years for desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. Here's what's going on. Daniel reads in Jeremiah that the number of years that God would send Israel into captivity for sin would be 70 years. Okay? So Daniel and his friends, they got taken into captivity around 605 BC. So it says here in the year of Darius. The year of Darius, we know, would have been around 538 BC. So 605 minus 538 is around 70 years. So here he's saying, you know what, God? This is your promise. You said 70 years. You know, I'm holding you to that promise. That's what he's kind of saying here in verse 1. So verse 3, go to verse 3. So I turned my attention to the Lord God, to seek him by prayer and petition with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Verse 4, I prayed to the Lord and my God and confessed, Ah, Lord, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. He says, we have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly, rebelled, turned away from your commands and your ordinances. We have not listened to your prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, leaders, ancestors, and all of the people of the land. Real quickly, this isn't the main point. I want to make a quick point here. You see here, he just said, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we've acted wickedly, rebelled. Does that sound like Daniel? If you've been with us through this series, that doesn't sound like Daniel. Daniel is incredibly righteous. Ezekiel says he's one of three people, the most three righteous in the land. So he's here as a leader. I want you to know, sometimes as a leader, you own up to problems and take responsibility for them even when they weren't your fault. And that's what we see here. You know, sometimes my kids, just like maybe your kids, make mistakes. And you know what? As a leader, we say, oh, I'm so sorry. We have to own up to it. And then we go home and we correct that, right? We kind of talk about how it's going to be. And so that's what he does as a leader. He kind of owns up to responsibilities. He said, hey, this is the people of God. We have sinned. We have, you know, we have done wrong. We've acted wickedly. And so he's kind of owning up to the people and what they've done as their leader. Let's continue on about what he says about prayer. Verse 7, continue on. Verse 7, Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but this day public shame belongs to us. Skip to verse 11 now. It says, all Israel has broken your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Verse 13 says, and so just as it is written in the law of Moses, all the disaster has come on us. Yet we still have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquities and paying attention to your truth. So again, he's owning up. He's saying, we didn't pay attention to your truth. Daniel, you know, it sounds like he was listening every day to the Lord, so he's kind of owning up as a leader. Verse 15, now Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a strong hand and made your name renowned as it is this day. Verse 16, in keeping with all your righteous acts, may your anger and wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Again, he's like, you said it, Lord. You promised 70 years. It's been 70 years. Turn away. Let that anger turn away. Verse 17, therefore, our God, hear the prayers and the petitions of your servant. Make your face shine on your desolate sanctuary for the Lord's sake. Now, I just want to point out here, that verse right there, 17, is a direct quote from Numbers 6, okay? And he's praying God's promise back to him, and he's saying, do it for your sake, Lord. Do it for your sake. Verse 18, listen closely, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city that bears your name. In other words, he's saying, God, this is your reputation. Your name is on the line. Now he's saying, you said when your children call upon you and you'd forgive them and come and help. So we're calling now, Lord. That's what he's saying here. For we are not presenting our petitions before you based on our righteous acts, but based upon your abundant compassion. Verse 19, Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. That right there, I want you to know, is a direct quote from Deuteronomy 30, okay? Where God promised that he would respond to his people. So, and then it says, my God, for your own sake, do not delay, because your city, your people, bear your name. He's reminding them. Verse 20, while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people, Israel. Verse 21, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the first vision, reached me in my extreme weariness. And he gave me this explanation. And verse 23, at the beginning of your petitions, an answer went out, and I have come to give it. So here's what's happened. Daniel began his prayer, and God issues an answer through Gabriel to go and deliver it, okay? And while Daniel is praying, Gabriel was flying there, and when Daniel finishes up his prayer, this is what Daniel says. It's amazing to think about these angels and Gabriel and everything, but I want you to see what Daniel, he says to Daniel. He says, "You are greatly loved by God." Some of your translations might say, "You are treasured by God." Friends, how amazing is that, okay? Think about Daniel's life. Daniel's life was not easy by any stretch of the imagination, okay? He was literally betrayed by his co-workers. He was kidnapped. He was enslaved. I mean, all that, he lived under constant danger. So he, it says, was greatly loved by God. He was treasured by God. So I want you to understand that God's love is not measured by how easy your life is. Do you hear that? Sometimes you may be walking through difficult seasons. I want you to know you are still loved by God. You are treasured by God. Because we, at times God will allow us to go through hard times because he might want to show us or reveal to us something that he's trying to really show us, a value that he wants to raise up in our lives. So you are loved by God. That's what he says. If you want to measure how much God loves you, think about the cross and the empty tomb. That's how much he loves you. And that is true for all of us. So, friend, as we're going to get into four principles I'm going to give you about prayer that you can take home, I want you to know it's not just the secret to probably Daniel's consistency in prayer was knowing that he was greatly loved by God, that he was treasured by God. And so it's not like just pray more or pray like Daniel. It's know that you are loved like Daniel knew that he was loved by God. And then trust God like Daniel trusted God. And that will birth kind of natural desire to want to pray. So I want you to hear, you are loved by God. You are treasured by the King. Okay, so as we get into these four principles, this is the first one I want to give you. The first thing I want to see you is ground yourself in the promises of God. Ground your prayers. Literally pray those prayers back to the Lord, his promises. I want you to note, as I read through that passage, he was quoting Jeremiah, he was quoting Deuteronomy, he was quoting Numbers, and he was praying those promises back to God. One of the things Martin Luther said about prayer, he said, you know, you want to have power in prayer? Well, really, it's catching God in his words. That's what it is. Because, you know, I don't know about you as a parent, my kids catch me in my words all the time. Have you ever made like a promise to your kids, or you're like, you went and, you know, we were like walking through the Salina Mall and we were like, we saw all these people like throwing axes. I was like, that would be fun. We should do that sometime. So then for the next, you know, every night for the next couple weeks, Dad, have you booked our time? You know, throw axes? That you said we were going to do that, you know, and some of you parents get that. You're like, you know, we kind of make those, you know, kind of statements that maybe we don't fully mean to our kids right at times. But I want to share that because the point is God never does that. He doesn't make casual statements. Everything he says, he means. And so every promise is true for us today as well. So we should pray our prayers back to the Lord. That's what Daniel said. Daniel said, God, you were the one who said you would be merciful to us when we prayed and restore us when we called. So now your reputation's on the line. That's what he's doing. He's praying the promises of God back to God. And so I want to encourage you, dig into his word. Know him intimately. A couple examples, real quickly, I just want to share from you. It's Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. You guys probably all know this one. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, and go and make disciples. And then Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Here we are in the middle of a pandemic. I'm telling you, people are wanting to, the church today, as people are just walking away, they're like, oh, we're, you know, worship online at home, and then some are like, oh, I'm just going to not worship, and they're kind of walking away. Friend, I'm praying, even in the midst of a pandemic, that God's going to ignite his church, that there's going to be more coming to know Jesus. We're going to be disciple-making, and so we pray that God's going to restore and move in a mighty way. Another one is that I pray for my kids a lot of times. Psalm 112, this is what it says. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Proverbs 11:21, the children of the righteous will be delivered. So I pray that for my kids, Lord, would you lift them up? Would you allow them to stand strong for you? Would you allow them to be surrounded by friends that would build them up and live for you? That's what I pray over our children's ministry. We have an amazing Awana ministry that's growing, and God's doing incredible things through it. But we pray for those kids that God's going to raise them up and guard them and use them for his glory. So that's what we talked about. We pray God's promises back to him. I want you to know the thing about prayer, this is what prayer will do. It will show you the difference when you're praying of where we are and where God wants us to be. You will start to see as you pray, God, this is where I'm at. This is some issues. This is some unforgiveness I got going on, some bitterness. And you'll see the rootedness, and then you start to see, God, that's where you're taking me. That's where you want me to be. And so I pray that Jesus taught us in this, when he modeled prayer for us, he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should pray like that. Literally, Lord, what do you want my family to look like on earth as it is in heaven? What do you want this church to look like on earth as it is in heaven? What do you want my marriage to look like on earth as it is in heaven? So we pray that, you know? And so we pray the promises of God back to God. I want to quickly tell you one story about a guy named John Patton. He was a Scottish pastor, okay, back in the 1800s, around 1850s, okay, and he was a young pastor, and he had a really big, thriving church, and he was excited, and God was using him, but he kept having this burden on him about this island they kept hearing, okay, this island right off of Scotland, and he kept hearing about them, that nobody knew the Lord there. And the thing about the danger of going, though, was there was known for it to being cannibals there, okay? So he knew that God had laid in his word that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was confident that if he went, that God would protect him. And so he went to that island. It was incredibly difficult. He wrote in his diary, that's how we know a lot of this. But his wife, whom he dearly loved, passed away during having their first child. And he had to literally lay and sleep on her grave for 3 to 4 nights so that nobody would dig her up. It was terrible, but he was constantly under this thought of like day and night of someone trying to harm him. But eventually, after years and years of prayer, a couple men from the village came to know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And surely enough, more and more were starting to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They said when he arrived in 1858 on that island, no one knew Christ as their Savior. But he said when he died 35 years later, there was not a single islander that had not professed faith in Jesus Christ. It's incredible, okay? But friend, one of the best parts of the story I thought was, as I was reading about him, was that when one of the chiefs that came to Christ came to him one time and said, when you first got here, who was that army that guarded your hut every night? Every night he had prayed the angel of God would protect him so that the gospel could go forward. I'm telling you, friend, we pray the promises of God back to God. That was, you know, dig into his word and pray over the promises of God. That's number one. Number two, make prayer a daily habit, something that we always get into. We saw this all throughout Daniel. We saw this in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel had a daily routine of getting before the Lord. 3 times a day, he did that for 70 years. Okay? And it all goes back to Daniel made a few incredible decisions as a young adult that caused him to want to stay and grow and continue to pray out to the Lord. First of all, he said, I'm not going to defile myself in the king's place. I'm not going to defile it with the food that's not consecrated to the Lord, so I'm going to not give in. It might cost me advancement, yeah, but yet God still always responded and answered and blessed him. And then he prayed 3 times a day towards Jerusalem every day. That's how they caught him. They're like, we know he'll be praying at this time. So he'd open up the windows and pray towards Jerusalem, and there he grew an enormous amount of strength from his prayer life. So friend, we need to build it into a daily habit. This is what Jesus did. Jesus, anytime he wanted to make a major decision, he would pull away and saturate himself in prayer. That's what he did. In Luke chapter 6, right before he was going to pick all of his disciples, the 12 disciples, he spent the whole night up praying. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, how many of us, you know, rush into major decisions without seeking the wisdom and the counsel of the Lord? Friend, we've got to be a people of prayer. Right before Jesus went to the crucifixion, the night before, what does he do? He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. What does he do there? He prays, right? And he brings along Peter, James, and John, some of his closest friends. He says, hey guys, don't fall asleep. He's like, oh, if you stay up praying or else you'll fall into temptation. And what do? They fall asleep, right? So friends, we need to have our strength in the Lord. We need to build a daily habit of spending time with God. You want to be strong in the Lord, you got to meet with him, right? So I want to encourage you. Here's the challenge. Maybe some of you are already doing this. But if you're not, I want to encourage you. Spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. 10 minutes, okay? A day for 21 days. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. You could split it up 5 in the morning, 5 at night, but I'm telling you, if you do it for 21 days, you've established a new habit, a new healthy habit. And that's what I'm asking, that God would use us to pray out to him, cry out to him, receive his strength and his power and his might. So for the next 21 days, pray for 10 minutes a day. So that's the second point, is pray daily. Third point is this: don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Don't give up on day 21, and don't give up on year 69. I want you to know, if you notice, go to chapter 9, verse 21, it says this: when Gabriel arrived, Daniel was weary. He was exhausted. Well, of course he was. He'd been praying for 70 years, okay? How many of you give up? You say, I prayed about something for a whole week, Lord. A whole week I gave you, and it still hasn't been answered. You know, we need to keep going in prayer. Don't give up. You know, let me show you, this is what God shows us in Daniel chapter 10. It's actually the next chapter. If you want to go to 10, we'll get there in the next week here. But it says, this is when Daniel was praying about something else. I want you to see, he had been praying for 21 days when this happened. It says, suddenly, in chapter 10, verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me and set me shaking on my hands and knees. He said to me, Daniel, you are a man greatly loved by God. Verse 12, for the first day you set your heart to humble yourself before your God, and your words have been heard. I have come because of your words. Verse 13, the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days, but Michael, the one of the chief princesses, came to me. Here's what's going on. Okay, Daniel has a prayer, and he's praying out to God. And he literally, God dispatches an angel, Gabriel, to go with the answer. But the angel, Gabriel, gets tied up with this prince of Persia, who's doing a demon that's tearing up and thwarting the plans of God in Persia Empire, okay? So Gabriel and this demon are doing battle. So God sends his big time battle, his battler Michael, who's kind of the Chuck Norris of angels, and goes in, tears him up so that Gabriel can go on and give Daniel the answer. But friends, here's what's happening. You have to keep praying. In 21 days, he's like, no answer. He's getting a little tired. But God, you don't know what God's doing. You don't know how God's moving. I'm telling you, friend, so don't give up in day 20. Don't give up in year 69. Maybe it's kind of what Martin Luther gave an example. He said, he put it as a father who has something his kids want, and they're all trying to get it, and he's holding it in his hand, and he doesn't let them get it at first in order to test their child's resolve. Like, how much do you really want this? How much do you really trust me? You know, are you going to, as soon as you hear, no answer, you're going to go off and you're going to make your own way and make your own decisions? No, we've got to keep on praying to the Lord. And the fourth one I want to give you this morning is, put your hope in God's mercy. Don't put your hope in your own goodness. Put your hope in the mercy of God. I'm telling you, friend, this in verse 18 of chapter 9 might be the most significant secret to prayer. It says, for we are not presenting our petitions before you based upon our righteous acts, but based upon your abundant compassion. In other words, God, I'm not asking you to do this because I'm worthy of it. Oh no, I am not worthy of it. I am asking you to do this out of the rich storehouse of your goodness and your mercy. That's what we do, okay? So it's not according to my goodness, it's according to God's goodness, his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. Let me give you the example real quick from Scripture. The Phoenician woman. In Scripture, she comes to Jesus, you know, begging for healing for her daughter, and she goes to Jesus, and this is what Jesus says, "Woman, it's not proper to take food intended for the children, the Jews, and give it to the dogs, the Gentiles." And this would have seemed pretty offensive, right? But yet she recognizes this is about her unworthiness. When it comes to demanding things of God, do you understand? We're all the dogs. Friend, we have no worthiness, okay? We depend upon the mercies of the Lord Jesus. This is what she says, "Yes, Lord, but a rich man's house, even the little dogs, get to eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table." Do you understand? There is so much mercy and so much grace on the Lord's table that it's just flowing over, and we get to receive. And so when we pray in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayers, we're not just saying we're done. You can open your eyes now. It's concluded. Our prayer time's done. No, we're praying in the name of the powerful name of Jesus Christ, because our name has no value. God, don't do this for my glory. Don't do this for my righteousness. It's in your righteousness, in the power of Jesus Christ. So friends, encourage you, pray 10 minutes a day. Don't give up praying, okay? Don't give up praying like Daniel. Build it into your life and you will receive, there's power, there's blessing that God wants to do in you and your family's life. I pray that we would see. Just like verse 19, it says, "Lord, hear. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, listen and act." That's what we pray for, friends. So as we close, I want you to know, as we close and Jill comes up and sings this last song, let there be a spirit of prayer in your life. Go deep with the Lord. Spend time with him. Let his Holy Spirit move and convict you. That's what I pray that God would do as we develop prayer life, just like Daniel we see here in chapter 9. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that we get to gather and worship you and cry out to a good God that loves us. Father, I thank you for this example that we sometimes get a little weary. And sometimes we're just weak, Lord. We just don't have a lot of strength in continuing on in prayer life. But Lord, I pray that we would understand that our wisdom is so limited. Your wisdom is overwhelming. And so, Father, we cry out to a good God that's full of wisdom, and may the knowledge of you may bear fruit in our lives as we spend time with you in our prayer lives. Change us, transform us, and I pray that this would not be a resource that we just get set on the shelf and gets dusty. Lord, we would be crying out to you and calling out to you as the people of God to move. We want to see your power, your might here among us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close in prayer, would you stand as we worship the Lord?
Loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this presence so divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, Christ can feel the loving heart.
good to worship with you today, and thankful for you being here. And I want to know if you're a member here. We will have an annual meeting up here in about the next 5-10 minutes, a little business meeting. You go out and you sign in, get your ballot, and come back in. Would be great. And I pray you have a blessed day and enjoy this beautiful fall day. Hear the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a good week.